Lesson 3, Viewpoint. Part A, Listen, Write, and Speak.
Exercise 1. Listen to the tape and then choose the best answer to each question you hear.
I'd be just as happy if they passed a law tomorrow making tipping illegal. There are all sorts of things wrong with tipping. It puts both tipper and tippee in a bad position. Why should anyone have to depend on what I choose to give them for their services? Who am I to leave a dollar under my plate for the waiter as if I was doing him a big favor? I hate tipping. The first thing wrong is that most of us don't know who to tip or how much. We don't know what the person we're tipping expects from us. We don't want him to think we're cheapskates, and we don't want to look as though we're from out of town by tipping too much. We just know we're supposed to do it. I eat in a lot of restaurants during the course of a year, and the tip I leave the waiter or waitress very seldom bears any relationship to the quality of service I get. I leave the same tip for good service as I do for bad. Occasionally, when service is really terrible, I'll shave the tip to the socially acceptable minimum, but never below that. I'm a coward when it comes to tipping. Years ago, George Bernard Shaw ate in a restaurant in New York, and the service was terrible. The waiter ignored him, got the orders mixed up, and was rude. After the meal, Shaw paid the check, and as he was leaving, he looked the waiter in the eye and dropped a $50 bill on the table. "This is what I tip for bad service," Shaw said. The word tips is supposed to have come from the letters of the words, to ensure prompt service. I don't know whether that's true or not. All I know is it doesn't help the service at all, and we ought to drop the custom. There are a lot of small towns in the United States where no one would dream of tipping someone. That's the way it ought to be. But in the big cities, you're expected to tip half the people you meet. In a hotel, there are always a lot of people doing things for you that you'd rather do yourself, because they're looking for a tip. When there are 9 taxicabs in a line outside the hotel, I don't need a doorman whistling his head off to get me one. I resent tipping doormen for doing almost nothing. A friend of mine spent several days at the fancy Greenbrier Hotel in West Virginia once, and as he was leaving, he held a dollar to a doorman who hadn't done anything for him and said, "Do you have some change?" The doorman looked at my friend and said, "Sir, at the Greenbrier, a dollar is change." Several times a year, I find myself in an expensive restaurant that has a washroom attendant. I'm perfectly capable of washing and drying my own hands without having an attendant hand me a towel, and I think the establishment should pay someone to keep the place neat and clean without making the clients pay for it with tips. The attendant usually has 4 or 5 $1 bills in a dish, as if that's what you're expected to leave. I don't have my shoes shined anymore because it costs too much to tip. I've never known how much to give the captain in the restaurant with a washroom attendant, and if I have to tip a head waiter $10 for a good table, I'm going to eat someplace else. I'd like to put an end to all tipping, but I don't dare start the movement all by myself.
Question number 1. What is the speaker's attitude toward tipping? Question number 2. Why do most people tip the service people, such as waiters and hotel attendants, according to the speaker? Question number 3. What can you learn from the text about the speaker? Question number 4. What conclusions cannot be drawn about the doorman at the Greenbrier Hotel? Question number 5. What is the speaker's tone? Exercise 2. Listen to the tape once again, and as you listen, jot down brief notes to help you answer the following questions.
I'd be just as happy if they passed a law tomorrow making tipping illegal. There are all sorts of things wrong with tipping. It puts both tipper and tippee in a bad position. Why should anyone have to depend on what I choose to give them for their services? Who am I to leave a dollar under my plate for the waiter as if I was doing him a big favor? I hate tipping. The first thing wrong is that most of us don't know who to tip or how much. We don't know what the person we're tipping expects from us. We don't want him to think we're cheapskates, and we don't want to look as though we're from out of town by tipping too much. We just know we're supposed to do it. I eat in a lot of restaurants during the course of a year, and the tip I leave the waiter or waitress very seldom bears any relationship to the quality of service I get. I leave the same tip for good service as I do for bad. Occasionally, when service is really terrible, I'll shave the tip to the socially acceptable minimum, but never below that. I'm a coward when it comes to tipping. Years ago, George Bernard Shaw ate in a restaurant in New York, and the service was terrible. The waiter ignored him, got the orders mixed up, and was rude. After the meal, Shaw paid the check, and as he was leaving, he looked the waiter in the eye and dropped a $50 bill on the table. "This is what I tip for bad service," Shaw said. The word tips is supposed to have come from the letters of the words, to ensure prompt service. I don't know whether that's true or not. All I know is it doesn't help the service at all, and we ought to drop the custom. There are a lot of small towns in the United States where no one would dream of tipping someone. That's the way it ought to be. But in the big cities, you're expected to tip half the people you meet. In a hotel, there are always a lot of people doing things for you that you'd rather do yourself, because they're looking for a tip. When there are 9 taxicabs in a line outside the hotel, I don't need a doorman whistling his head off to get me one. I resent tipping doormen for doing almost nothing. A friend of mine spent several days at the fancy Greenbrier Hotel in West Virginia once, and as he was leaving, he held a dollar to a doorman who hadn't done anything for him and said, "Do you have some change?" The doorman looked at my friend and said, "Sir, at the Greenbrier, a dollar is change." Several times a year, I find myself in an expensive restaurant that has a washroom attendant. I'm perfectly capable of washing and drying my own hands without having an attendant hand me a towel, and I think the establishment should pay someone to keep the place neat and clean without making the clients pay for it with tips. The attendant usually has 4 or 5 $1 bills in a dish, as if that's what you're expected to leave. I don't have my shoes shined anymore because it costs too much to tip. I've never known how much to give the captain in the restaurant with a washroom attendant, and if I have to tip a head waiter $10 for a good table, I'm going to eat someplace else. I'd like to put an end to all tipping, but I don't dare start the movement all by myself.
Part B. Listen and relax.
Directions. Listen to the following 5 epigrams carefully and try to learn them by heart.
1. It's a good thing for an uneducated man to read books of quotations. Winston Churchill. 2. Cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. William Shakespeare. 3. Fear always springs from ignorance. Ralph Waldo Emerson. 4. If you do not think about future, you cannot have one. J. John Galsworthy. 5. Imagination is more important than knowledge. Albert Einstein. Part C. Further listening.
Directions. You are going to hear a short passage once. Listen carefully and choose the best answer to each question you hear.
We often hear people talking about a generation gap. The name is new, but the idea is old. Young people and their parents don't understand each other. The world keeps changing. It has always kept changing. During the second century after Christ, a wise man said, "Bury me on my face, because in a little while everything will be turned upside down." There has always been a gap between generations, but more people talk about it now. Old Ellis thinks he understands what has happened. When I was a boy, I thought the world was a beautiful place. My life was very pleasant. But when I was older, I learned about people who were treated badly. I also learned about people who did not have enough to eat. I wanted to help them, and my wife wanted to help them too. Our children grew up in a world at war. They didn't know when the fighting would stop. They wanted their children to have nice clothes and toys. They didn't want to think about the future, for they thought nothing could be done about it. Now I have grandchildren, and they have their own ideas. They are trying to make the world better. They are trying to help other people. They are making people listen to them. I am proud of their generation.
Question number one. What does the phrase generation gap mean according to Old Ellis? Question number two. What did Old Ellis tell us in the story? Question number three. The wise man said, "Bury me on my face, because in a little while everything will be turned upside down." What did he probably mean? Question number four. What did the wise man's saying express? Question number five. What could we probably conclude from the passage?
This is the end of lesson 3.